You guys good to go?
All right, yeah.
We're here. We're podding it up.
We're right here. We're queer.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Maximum effort. Welcome to the Forest Creek Podcast. Today we're going to be reviewing The Proposal. I'm just kidding. We just got out of the Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Woo-woo!
I'm very excited.
Oh my God, it was phenomenal.
As usual, I am your host, Raf, and I got my co-host.
I'm Jared.
And returning on the podcast,
it's Jake. What's up, baby?
Thank you for coming back.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely. I had a blast last time, even though I had no idea what really that movie was about, but we're back.
Yeah, Monkey Man was a hard podcast.
That was a hard one. I went into that so blind.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be something else entirely.
No, not this one. We went in, and exactly it was exactly what we wanted it to be. Oh, my God.
So, I got a little bit to open up on here.
Open up.
This is the third Deadpool movie.
Speaking of.
Titled Deadpool Wolverine. It released a couple, day ago?
Yesterday. Yeah, a couple days, yesterday. Like Thursday or something.
We were watching it the day after it was released. We were intending to buy it for the premiere. I got online to buy the tickets months early, and it was bought out completely, the theaters were filled
probably
up.
Probably sold out in 30 seconds or something. Yeah.
So a little bit of a background. Third of the Deadpool movies. Deadpool is a comics character who was brought in under Marvel Comics for the X-Men titles. He was originally an antagonist who came into the 90s comics X-Men run, and over time has evolved into one of the most beloved comic book characters of all time. Why is that? Well, he is known as the Merc with a Mouth, known for being very chatty and talkative and fourth wall break, and obviously makes a lot of references to the audience often and stares back at the reader through the comic panel, and then being generally very humorous, referencing... What are you doing? Because just making Spider-Man hand gestures at each other.
Stop that.
Being very humorous, being very relatable at times, making a lot of pop culture references, kind of breaking the wall, not just the fourth wall, but, in terms of relatability. He is not your typical superhero. In fact, he's been described as an anti-hero and, I guess, formally titled as a mercenary, being somebody who fights exclusively for money. But then in a lot of his comic arcs, you get I'm starting out doing this as a job, as a mercenary, and then over time, I slowly kind of adapt to the good of it. I've read a lot of Deadpool comics, most of them since the 90s, definitely a lot of the more common arcs up to Incursion. Just real quick, Incursion is an event that happened in Marvel Comics around the 2015-16 kind of era, where basically the alternate universes of the Marvel multiverse collided in on each other in a big cataclysmic event that they used to kind of reboot everything. So I wasn't caught up on what the comics did after that. There was a little bit of a stretch, and obviously they're still printing comics, but the focus on everyone's mind, especially, with the Avengers going on, and well, you really have to have lived under a rock to not know who Iron Man is at this point. And this is a very interesting entry into the cinematic universe because for a long time, while the rights to the Avengers, the Iron Man, the Hulk, Thor, have remained with Disney after being purchased by them, after Marvel was purchased by Disney, the X-Men were under 20th Century Fox Films. And then Spider-Man, for the longest time, was under Sony Pictures. So it's only been over the course of literally decades that Disney has managed to acquire rights to the rest of these groups. And now they're all underneath the Mickey Mouse Kingdom.
Because they're loaded.
Yeah. And this film represents Deadpool's entrance into that world.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, dude. He's gonna save Marvel. He's gotta.
There's a lot that can be said about this movie even before having walked into the theater. I was watching Formula One this weekend, One of the car's liveries is now red with the yellow Wolverine scratches over top of the car to promote this movie. Ryan Reynolds did make an appearance in F1 in the Drive to Survive series, so I don't know if he actually formally sponsored a team, but his style of marketing has become very prolific. I don't know if you guys have heard of the company Aviation Gin.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No, never. Not once.
Shut up. Oh.
Like many other celebrities, he started his own. Well, didn't start it. He bought into a liquor company and then promoted it using his personal brand. The profits shoot up tremendously, and then he sells his portion of the company. Ryan Reynolds entered into the billionaire status because of his ability to do that, taking his personal brand and using it to promote something. Now, it's not saying that he's just the intent is selling out. When it comes to Deadpool, it's a very much a passion project. The first time we saw Deadpool on screen in a live-action movie was X-Men Origins. I don't know if you guys ever saw
horrible.
That. Awful.
I heard horrible. It was bad. It was awful. They didn't even give him a mouth.
Literally,
they sewed his mouth shut.
Yes.
Because he was like talking. I thought it was cool, like the sword thing when he's walking down and he's like flinging all the bullets
cuts a
away.
Bullet in
you're
half.
Like, yeah, we're getting Deadpool. This is great. And then they sewed his mouth shut and you're like, yeah. Why?
Merc without a mouth.
Like literally destroyed the one thing that made him interesting.
Exactly.
We saw a redux of it when I was in high school. The Deadpool movie came out after years of them teasing it, after years of them like, okay, we're going to bring the writers on. We don't like the movie. Oh, we're going to throw it out. It's a very difficult thing to tell a boardroom like, hey, you know the superhero movies that everybody loves that, you know, people bring their kids to? We want to do one that's R-rated. Just like, we'll just have gore and murder and some nudity and people doing drugs, and you know, we're just gonna totally ruin a superhero movie. In fact, it's not really even a superhero movie. It's not really a moral at the end of the story to learn. But it was a tremendous success despite that. You know, when they debuted the trailers for the first movie at the Comic Cons and everything, people went nuts. Because Ryan Reynolds has always been at the forefront of, like, you know, if there was a character, a live action an actor who would best represent this character, it's always been Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. I don't know if it...
Well, even in the comics, they reference, like, Deadpool references Ryan Reynolds playing him.
Yeah.
No way.
Like, he has, like, I'm pretty sure he's, like, the same height as the comic Deadpool.
Yeah.
He's, like, all, like, the physical features about him match perfectly.
There is That's a quote awesome. From comic Deadpool going, if I look like Ryan Reynolds under this mask, shoot me. Yeah, so when it comes to the marketing for Deadpool and Wolverine, it's been everywhere. Like, we even saw in the little cinema, you know, the little video that they played to tell everybody to turn off their phones. They turned it into a sketch, right?
And that was so good.
It was so perfect. It just got you right before the movie, too. You're like, oh, here we go. This is what we're going to get. And we got it.
And the longstanding kind of, not feud, but like the fun rivalry between Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, famous for playing Wolverine, of course.
X-Men. Also a very perfect casting.
Incredible.
Incredible casting for Hugh.
Granted, we did see Henry Cavill kind of...
Yeah, Cavill was crazy, dude. I was like, he turned around, I was like, wait a minute, Superman? I think the craziest cameo, which got both of us, because I know I looked over, all three of us were like, wait, what? We thought it was Chris Evans came on.
Yeah.
And we all thought, oh, Cap.
Yeah.
And then you're like, nope, Human Torch. And we were all like, no fucking way.
It was hilarious because... He pulls back his hood, and I was like, am I supposed to know who this is? And then I looked at him more, and I was like, oh, I guess that's probably
right
Captain
away,
America,
I didn't
right?
Catch it. And then he faced the camera, and I was like, oh, it's wow. Cap.
It's crazy. I think it was more the way he acted.
Yeah.
And then
which is why it threw you off.
Well, yeah. There's also this
and
shot.
Then he flamed on. Yeah. You're like, oh, now this makes sense.
So here's a question. Like, was it the guy, or are they just actors that look similar?
Oh, no,
that's Chris Evans.
Oh, that was him. So he's played like both roles.
He played Human Torch in the original Fantastic
Four.
Yeah,
I was wondering.
Which was great. I really liked the originals. The remakes.
We'll dig into all of this. I personally almost had a heart attack when I saw Blade on screen.
Oh my god!
So excited.
The cameos in this movie,
incredible,
were like insane.
Yeah.
Like from costume to like everything. It was,
it was also like
perfect.
When the army of Deadpools, the Deadpool Corps came out.
Oh, yeah. That was so good.
There are so many of those characters that you've seen in the comics. And they're like they each have their own little
like
arcs.
The,
graphic
like the
novel
skull
series.
One,
Headpool,
Ladypool, Dogpool, like
Samurai Deadpool, the Western one.
Yep.
So we'll get into all of that. But to start off, this movie is, again, it's the third in a trilogy. And if it was one of the things that people were kind of like worried about is like, how do you keep substance in something this meme-y, essentially? It's like, it's not something that's, you know, I've brought up that idea before. It's like, is this a good film or is it just a good movie? And it's important, I think, for it to be both in order to last. If it's just a good meme, a good movie, you have a good time watching it, that's all you really need to justify. Yeah,
you watch it a couple times and then it like dies out. Yeah. Maybe in a couple years later, you're like, oh, I remember that movie.
But do you remember it? Do you think about it afterwards? Do you think about what it means? And to be honest, I actually do think this movie carries some substance, more so than the second film, in my opinion. The first movie, if to recap, basically, Wade Wilson is a former Special Forces guy whose life is starting to kind of look on the upturn because, you know, he's a kind of a mercenary, but he's not very, you know, high up there in terms of his work. He kind of just does, you know, back alley work.
Yeah, and then falls in love.
It's beautiful. And then horrible, horrible cancer in every part of his body gets him. And he gets offered a way out. In the comics, this is more specifically Weapon X, the same program that made Wolverine's bones metal. But they take him in and they stress test him, torture him basically until his mutant gene comes out. And his mutant gene completely deforms his skin.
Yeah.
TJ Miller has like a flurry of like different.
It's like roasts. Like an avocado had sex with an older avocado. Yeah. You look like a topographical map of the one I always remember. Something like that, right?
You look like the inside of an asshole.
Yeah.
And also gives him, you know, super strength, super speed, super reflexes, and regenerative healing powers. The thing that Deadpool is most famous for, he can never die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's invincible. It's pretty wild some of the times that these guys have died in the comics. Like, Wolverine has also regenerative powers, regenerated from literally a drop of his own blood.
Yeah.
It's been wild.
Comics are crazy.
Yeah, comics are crazy.
I don't think they'll go to that extent in the movie because it's going to be like, wait, what?
Hard to think about.
It's just 30 minutes of him glowing.
But, like, it gives you the backstory. Like, you literally can't kill him. Like, he's...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Wolverine with the animantium or whatever, but it's like he can like actually just from the cells.
Yeah,
he can regen.
He does go through some pretty grisly, kind of gory situations where like you'll see his in the movies, like literally his hand.
Comes off. Oh yeah, and
little baby hand.
Yeah, the baby hand starts to grow back. Yeah,
so good. Starts from the very top. So that's the first movie, is him getting revenge on the person who mutated him. Second movie is him kind of finding his arc to family again, because his love of his life is murdered and he's trying to like make good on, you know, what he meant to her, to try to
fix
this kid. And they throw Cable in there. And one of the things I want to mention about Deadpool is that like oftentimes having a clownish character alone is not
enough.
Yeah. It's not very, again, substantive, right? So Deadpool works really well in duos. And one of the duos that we've seen so far has been Deadpool and Cable. Cable being like a future super soldier who comes back in time and teams up with Deadpool to fix mistakes in the past.
And Peter.
And Peter.
Yeah, don't forget about Peter.
Can't forget about Peter. It's amazing in that suit.
In the comics, Deadpool and Spider-Man is a really big deal.
I'm waiting for that to happen. That's like, we got Wolverine and Deadpool. Yeah. Next, we need Deadpool and Spider-Man.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Do you imagine like Tom the P, like, yeah, Spider-Man? Like PG Spider-Man mates R-rated Deadpool?
You can't say that.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh.
I just want to see Peter Parker panic.
Yeah. I'm going to throw some dirt in your eye.
One of the most prolific ones certainly is Deadpool and Wolverine. Both of them, of course, being like kind of the alma mater from Weapon X projects. They're both super soldiers who were experimented on. They have similar, comparable healing powers, and they often face similar enemies. And one of the things that also works is that, they both murder. They both.
A lot.
Yeah.
It's always a good quality.
One of my favorite runs in the comics is basically Captain America, Deadpool, Wolverine team up to go to North Korea to put down the remnants of the Weapon X project.
It's not where I thought that was going when you said North Korea. Right? I was like, wait, who are they? Huh?
To put down.
Who are they putting down?
Weapon X.
We aren't that lucky. but it's kind of painted as this is the good, the bad, the ugly. The good is Captain America, his super soldier, where everything went right. Wolverine would be the bad because he was a super soldier who went right, but then turned on everybody. And then Deadpool is
Deadpool.
The ugly.
He's just him.
It didn't work out. In the comics, this never comes out in the movies, but in the comics, he famously talks to himself a lot. Mm-hmm. And you always see it. It's like there's actually two speech bubbles for him. One is in yellow and then one is in white, and they have different fonts inside of the speech bubbles.
Yeah.
And he's always talking to himself nonstop. So it's fascinating to think about. I'm not sure how it would come, that level of insanity. And he does delve into some like deep levels of insanity, including a courtship with literally death.
Yeah.
The whole way through. It's like he does spend, especially the 2008 run of comics, very suicidal the whole way through.
Oh, yeah.
Very depressing. This movie, a lot more lighthearted and campy.
Less suicidal.
The Deadpool.
Lots of murder, though.
Yeah.
Lots.
Homicidal.
Yes.
Yeah. In self-defense.
Without going too much into the Loki backstory, there is a timeline, you know, just as we have alternate universes throughout the Marvel universe, Marvel multiverse.
The TVA show up.
The TVA, I don't know what the acronym stands for. Do you guys remember?
Time vortex.
Variant.
Authority?
Yeah, time variant authority or something like that.
And
their
job is to make sure that the timeline doesn't get disturbed. By making sure that anything that branches off into an alternate universe is...
And if you've watched, like, removed. Loki, like, all of the timelines leading up to this movie are, like, really messed up. Like, it's a whole thing. And then I'm pretty sure Loki season, the newest season of Loki, he, like they destroyed it or reset it or something, like...
He binds them together and then they change the TVA or
now, whatever. Like, Loki's, like, handling the timelines. Yeah.
Spoilers.
Oh, this whole pod, spoilers.
Yeah, we'll just go ahead and let you know now. Spoiler alert.
Dogpool is in it.
Yeah. What this movie is really about is Deadpool trying to find significance. It's difficult
they
for...
They really hammer that one in.
Is Deadpool difficult for... It's difficult for a character like Deadpool to find significance. Like I said, a clownish figure has a hard time standing on his own. One reference that I like to kind of go along with this point is, you watch Family Guy?
Yeah.
Peter Griffin is often the main character of his stories, and it's often just crazy, wild nonsense. But every once in a while, you'll get a story where someone like Lois is the main character, and Peter is like the sidekick in that. And I actually find that Peter in that role shines.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot of fun out of the character without disturbing the substance of the story. And I think that the same thing tends to be true. So you want a character like Deadpool to be in a duo to find something meaningful. I think that's where Deadpool and Wolverine shines.
Yeah, especially they riff off each other like really good.
Yeah.
The chemistry with those two characters, not even just the actors, like the characters is just... Yeah. So good. Right?
It helps the actors do.
Oh, absolutely. But like,
writing helps the actors. What?
Insane.
Yeah. And they essentially Deadpool ends up teaming up with Wolverine because Logan, as seen from, you know, the film Logan.
Logan. Yeah, I was about to say
from Logan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's who he is.
No, shut up.
The whole time.
I thought I was watching Greatest Showman, and this just went the complete opposite direction.
Well, if you saw Logan, it was like, that was very impactful because it was deliberately meant to be Hugh Jackman's last performance as Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And he plays like old man Logan, who's like losing his powers and the world is passing him by. And it was his last final act of sacrifice. And people cried at the end of the movie when he died. And, you know, they put up the X grave and everything. And it was monumental. It was supposed to be the end.
Yeah. And even his contracts ended with Marvel. Like, everything with Hugh and Marvel, like that was like, they were like, Logan's your last movie, then you're done. And he, like, I'm pretty sure he wanted to be out. And then Disney was like, yo, check out all this Mickey Mouse money. And he was like, all right.
Well, they do. It's like Ryan Reynolds is like walking around his house trying to come up with the ideas for the next Deadpool movie. And they were doing a sketch. And then out of from his bedroom or whatever, Hugh Jackman just descends from the stairs. People lose their minds.
When we got the teaser that they were doing it, it was everyone was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We're getting what we've always wanted. Because he died. And then Deadpool 2 came out. And everyone was like, no. We want more.
So what's really interesting is like, they almost literally push the studio story in front of you to say that, like, you see Wade Wilson at Deadpool sitting in a chair talking to Jon Favreau's Happy Hogan, who is the sidekick to Iron Man or the driver.
Oh, the chauffeur.
Yeah, the chauffeur turned CEO of Stark Industries or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's literally asking to be in the Avengers, which is hilarious. His whole excuse is, I want to mean something. I want significance. And we see the Avengers as, like, of course, the flagship that carried the major movies through. Everybody wants that level of significance out of, you know, your superhero career. When I think back to it, I think Ryan Reynolds is going to be remembered for playing Deadpool to the degree that Christopher Reeves is for playing Superman, like, way back when.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You don't think he'll be remembered for his role in The Green Lantern?
I think he'll be remembered.
I think he'll be remembered. People are going to laugh about when they did that.
I mean, literally, in the post-credit scene of Deadpool 2, Deadpool time travels back and kills Ryan Reynolds for Green Lantern.
Himself, like, in front of the script.
Yeah, he's holding the script to Green Lanterns.
And then even in the first movie, they reference it. They're dragging him on in the...
So please don't make the super suit green.
And don't make the super suit green. Yeah. Or animated. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's what made it. I got everybody. I remember the first trailer for the Deadpool thing, and they never actually showed you Deadpool in his suit. They just showed Ryan Reynolds going through, like, his life. People were like, what is this? What's going on? We're all so excited. So we came out of the theater. I want just to get, like, the thoughts. What have you guys had bottled up since walking out of that show? What do you want to say about it?
I don't even know. There's so much. I loved it every second. I think the one thing I noticed right out the gate was the color, like the little bit of a color, like the costume change a bit. Like, his costume still looked the same, but it was like brighter red, which really made him pop a lot more, which I thought was super cool. And then with the yellow coming out from Wolverine, like, it really made them like, here they are. We were giving you exactly what they want. And
it also helps a lot in, like, fight scenes. I know it's like a thing that Jackie Chan does in a lot of his movies, where he'll dress in a completely different color than the people he's fighting, and you'll be able to, like, you can keep the action scene in your head a lot better.
Yeah, it, like, draws focus to the main.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another thing. The fight scenes, like...
Oh, man.
Phenomenal. Like, when... And I feel like they filled that, like, we got, like, a Wolverine and Deadpool fight.
We got
which
two.
Is what, we got two.
Like, two
all,
or three.
That's all, like, we wanted, like, we want them to just go eight on each other, right?
He looks
because
to the camera
they both...
just goes, get your special sock out, nerds.
Yeah, right? Because, like, everyone's, like, a fight between two people who can die, who are, like, crazy, like, that, who can't die, sorry, is, like, the possibilities for a fight scene, like, the choreo you could do is endless. You could do so much. And you thought, oh, we get the one. All right, cool, they're friends now. And then you get another one, like in the Honda Odyssey.
That was the Honda Odyssey.
And oh, man. Even like I thought, as soon as I saw the first fight with them, I was like, "Oh, this is the best fight scene in the movie." And then I saw, then they gave us the Honda one, and I was like, "This is phenomenal too." Like I can't pick.
But then Wolverine puts on the mask on, and that
oh,
last one.
Oh my god, dude. That was insane.
The one question I had is just like, has that been a hood the whole time? Because I have not seen it sitting behind his neck. Where did that come from?
Right.
Or even
even Deadpool
that?
Himself in the movie was like, no way.
Right?
Like, I thought that was really cool. Like, the movie, like, everything, like, Deadpool was reacting to everything that we were wanted to get out of Hugh. And the studio delivered that. Like, everyone was like, we want Hugh in the... We want Wolverine in the original suit. Like, the yellow, the hair that we got. Like, we got everything. And then even Deadpool was sitting along with you, like, and did it.
Yeah.
Look it. Like, we did everything you guys are asking.
I think the best part about the suit is that they actually gave a reason for him to wear such a ridiculous costume.
I like that,
And
too.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. And even Deadpool's like, what is with that thing? It's so bad.
But it's so bad, thinking. But it's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Very, very symbolic of, you know, Wolverine. But then, you know, I don't know if you guys ever saw those early 2000s X-Men movies. X2.
I remember seeing, like, one or two.
Yeah.
But...
They had everybody wearing these black leather outfits.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then even Wolverine. Yeah, even Wolverine was wearing, like, the black one. They never gave him a yellow one. And I remember when those movies came out, we were all like,
Goes to show, like...
we didn't get the yellow, but, like, he still
had the hair.
He was still a really good Wolverine.
I don't know if you guys ever... Like, there was The Wolverine, a movie where it took place entirely in Japan.
Oh,
yeah. Quest, and
that's where it starts
X-Men
off,
Origins
like,
Wolverine, they always have him in plain clothes, right? He's just dressed like a civilian, and then...
Logan.
Yeah, and then eventually
the
shirt comes off.
That's the build-up to Logan, because that's why... It was in that movie, like the Japan one, where you get the whole arc of him. He's going to start losing his powers from here on forward.
Actually, what it was at the end of that movie, you get Magneto and Charles Xavier showing up. And it's the build up to X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot
about
that.
At a certain point, they kind of semi-rebooted the X-Men. through Days of Future Past, where you have like the young Charles Xavier and Michael Fassbender's Magneto, and they're running around with like the younger class of kids and first X-Men First Class and all that.
The Quicksilver in that movie too.
He's a lot of fun.
He was good. Yeah. They killed that one for sure.
If I could save time in a bottle.
Oh, that slow-mo scene was like all we wanted from a Quicksilver thing. We were like, yes.
We didn't even know we wanted. Just blew
I know. We
away,
didn't even
right?
know we wanted that. And we were like, this is exactly what we needed. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, that was 20th Century Fox running, running the X-Men. And now it is in the hands of Disney. I don't know what they plan to do. I don't know if there plans to be a Fantastic Four, but we got a lot of mileage out of Deadpool Wolverine.
I mean, Johnny's dead.
The theater, well, they were planning to reboot it. They actually
did
reboot it.
I think they are rebooting
it.
You know the guy from...
They have tried twice so far.
Yeah.
By the way.
They're doing it again now. You know the guy from The Bear? Have you seen The Bear, like the TV show?
I think so.
Nope.
It's like the cooking show. If you haven't, phenomenal.
First thing that came to mind was Cocaine Bear.
No.
Actually,
phenomenal movie. 10 out of 10. No,
if you guys saw the Doctor Strange something, Multiverse of Madness movie,
nope.
They had John Krasinski playing Reed Richards.
Yes.
From the Fantastic Four.
We got a bunch of cool cameos in that movie.
Would have been really
too.
Cool, honestly. But,
he would have been phenomenal because that's what people were like. The thing about this movie and that one, everyone was like online. They're like, we want this person to play this character, and they were like, okay, here you go. Here's a little. They gave you a cameo of it. Like even in this one, we got to see Gambit again.
Yeah,
and I remember everyone was like, Channing Tatum would be perfect for Gambit. He'd kill it. Like he looks like a Gambit,
right?
And they gave us that, and I was just over the moon. Yeah. Magic Mike is just throwing cards. That's insane.
Y'all blew my mind with Wesley Snipes coming back as Blade. I love the Blade movies.
The cameos in this movie were perfect.
And not just like live action cameos, comic cameos too. Yeah.
Like we got characters that we didn't we haven't seen in forever. Like we got Sabretooth.
Electra.
That was Elektra. We got Toad. We never even asked for Toad, but we got that big tongue back on screen. That was so weird.
Pyro played a specifically big part.
Pyro came back. I remember watching, I think it's the second X-Men film.
Yeah.
Where he's in that. I remember watching him as a kid and being like, the scene where he's like on the ground, he's like, or he's in the plane and he's flicking his thumb. He's like, and he's flicking his thumb.
His little lighter.
I thought that was such a cool thing. I thought that was so
like his powers, he can manipulate fire, but he always needs like a little flame.
Yeah,
it
was pretty cool. Yeah. And then we got him back, which was crazy. And then there's even other characters that kind of just they just showed they were there. Like, who's that chick with the really, really long nails?
It's interesting, actually. The long nails?
The really, really
long
nails.
Wait, she wasn't in this.
She was in it too, yeah. She had like
she
was
in
like,
this one?
Yeah, she was in the really old X-Men films.
Right.
Like the really she was like barely in it, but she had the really, really long nails.
She'd fight
nails.
Wolverine. She was the female Wolverine.
And she was in it too. If you notice when they're showing like all the bad guys and then like the good guys at the very end, you can see her standing there with all of her.
It's interesting.
Fingers.
It's like
she the one that had like a vague purple.
Yeah,
to her?
I think, I think it was
had
her.
No lines.
In a similar.
No lines. Yeah, she had no lines at all.
It was so funny when they revealed her because the whole time leading up to that, they'd been saying, "Oh, she, her, she. We're looking for a she." And the first girl they show is some random chick sitting there with a bit of purple in her hair. And I'm like, Is that her? Is that her?
They're like, no. This is just for you guys.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like it's not.
It's interesting. One of the things they do in this movie, and I feel like maybe it was a little bit inspired by Spider-Man No Way Home when they showed all of the different actors who played Spider-Man coming in as if they were different multiverse Spider-Man into the movie. In this, there was something similar. I don't know if you guys noticed Juggernaut, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Juggernaut in Deadpool 2, the movie, and he looks entirely different. The Juggernaut they show you is the Juggernaut from the early 2000s movies.
The good Juggernaut.
Oh, that's
I'm
awesome.
The Juggernaut.
That's the thing. that one. Yeah. They pulled a lot of like X-Men stuff for this one.
Yeah.
Like, we got like old... old X-Men characters, and then we even got the one new one now. We got, what's her name?
X-23.
Basically Lauren.
From Logan.
Basically Logan's kid is how I like to think about it.
It's the same actress who played the little girl.
It is the same, but she's older now, right? So that's why it's like that time skip of her saying, I got to grow up. That's
majority of this movie takes place in a place that we were shown originally in the Loki series. They call it The Void. It's basically where you go when you get deleted from the timelines. You get sent out into this void area, and then some giant smoke monster called Eliath comes and like eats you.
the vibe of that of the void is Mad Max.
It's yeah, very, literally.
That was, that's exactly
so
what.
Good.
That was funny too. When
I just wanted Toad to be playing an electric guitar
with his tongue, right? With
like the Doof Warrior.
Yeah, and then like I thought it was hilarious too how Deadpool referenced Mad Max, and then
yeah.
Wolverine cut off Sabretooth's head and then held up the
I
head.
Have your precious
I have
queen.
Your precious queen, Furiosa, and like it was just he did the whole speech. It
that was
so
good,
so good. Just little things like that that they like a fourth wall breaks that Deadpool
yeah.
does. Like stuff
love...
like that are just so funny and they're so.
So the vibe we're given about the void is that this is the space where everyone who didn't make the cut for the MCU ends up,
basically.
Right? Whether you're a discarded comic character or you're from a different franchise or you're a different run or an old reboot or whatever, you know.
And was the big thing Eliath?
Yeah,
the big smoke.
The big smoke thing. That was in Loki as well.
Well, they first mentioned that, and he's like, "No, the villain from season 1, episode 5 of Loki."
Yeah, he represents like to the T, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Which really makes you. It's like I think this movie really packages a lot of things that we just wanted in general. It was a lot of fan service. This whole movie,
and I think that's exactly what we wanted out of a Wolverine and Deadpool thing. We wanted them together, and then we wanted. And then they even gave us more. They're like, here's more nostalgia for you.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's a hard sell. If you were to sit me down and go like, okay, we're going to throw all these different things in from the TVA and the Eliath and all these different things up. And like, guys, the story is not focused.
Yeah, on paper,
in any sense.
There's too much.
It's ridiculous.
But I think they did a good job giving you,
well.
Like feeding you all of it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, like I was
way.
Saying, it's like my concern with this movie would be that it wasn't like very substantive. And I got more substance than I expected, but the theater experience in general was good. Like, we were laughing the whole way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're having, like, this is, like, if you want to just go to the movies and have a really good time, like, this movie
That's
gave...
That's this movie.
It was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted. I just wanted to go in, have a really good time.
I just...
Because, like, Deadpool 2's plot was...
Well, I literally...
It was mid.
In the drive there, Raph was telling me about it. He was like, yeah, and then they had Cable. And I was like, who's Cable again?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, this guy describing him, like, I don't remember him at all. He's like, he was the main antagonist.
Yeah, I feel like Deadpool 2 was a fun ride, but like you were like, Deadpool 1 was way better.
Yeah.
And then we got this one, and you're like, okay, now it goes Deadpool. Like, Deadpool 1 is really good, but I think I'd rank this one over Deadpool.
I would say theater experience-wise, definitely better.
Yeah.
If I was just looking at, like, from a writing, a film perspective, I might still say Deadpool 1 was better because it was more focused. But the sense of meaningfulness in the plot is, like, honestly, I think the third one might be more meaningful overall. It's, like, just the way it dealt with the theme of significance. Mm-hmm.
The one issue I had on that front is just how much they hammer it in for the first, like, 20 minutes and constantly throughout the movie. I'm looking for meaning. I want to matter. I'm looking for something that would make me significant.
Yeah,
like, dude,
and then
I
they,
get
like,
it.
Transition.
I understand.
They transition to like, now we're saving the world.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's like, they kind of, it maybe it's a fourth wall breaky, but, and they kind of did that at the end, but they're like, oh, I will give you the thing that will make you matter. And
yeah.
I'm like, come on, man. You're just like slapping me in the face with it. And then at the very end, he made it funny. He was like, okay, now raise the stakes. He just tells the guy to raise the stakes. And then he's like, you're going to die.
I think that's the one thing I really liked about this Deadpool movie is... Like, we got all the fourth wall breaks in the first and second one. Even the first one, we got a fourth wall break within a fourth wall break. Like, we got that scene. But, like, I feel like in this one, the amount of fourth wall breaks we got, not even him just talking to the camera, just him referencing so much outside stuff was awesome. Like, we got so much. And every single one, you caught it, and it was so funny.
This Deadpool movie really makes you feel like you were in the writer's room.
Oh, 100, yeah.
The casual ones are my favorite because you've got ones where he literally grabs the camera and breaks the
glass.
Oh,
that was so funny.
Where he's just dissing Fox.
Yeah, he was like,
I'm going to Disneyland.
Fox, and he's like punching it and headbutting the camera.
It's like, those ones are great, but then I love the ones where Wolverine says something about him shutting up and he's like, the audience will love that.
Yeah, like
those
that
ones
did not work the first
those
time.
Those ones are my favorite.
I loved, because... In the first movie, they also started with that, oh, we got to rewind time to tell you about how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
I think It's same. He does the same thing again in the second Deadpool.
And then in this one, too.
I loved the opening scene of him fighting off the TVA with pieces of the adamantine skeleton.
Yeah, literally, he's like, there's however many bones in the human body. And then he says, one more, if, like, whatever.
If I'm watching Gossip Girl.
Yeah. And then he fights everybody with all of the bones.
From Wolverine's skeleton. From Logan's skeleton.
Yeah. Speaking of that fight, in between, it's just him fourth wall breaking that there's credits and he's just doing the NSYNC dances.
Yeah.
That was so good. Like, in between, like, blood and murder and massacre, it's just him, like shuffling like Justin Timberlake. Like, it's crazy.
It's interesting to, like, a lot of, I think we mentioned it before on a previous podcast, but, like, a lot of the times the actors really don't like wearing these suits. There's a reason why, like, Robert Downey Jr. hates wearing the Iron Man mask. He's just, like, animated. I don't want to wear it.
Yeah.
Right? Even, you know, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, doesn't want to wear this Wolverine mask. That's why he has it on for the very end and then takes it off again. Mm-hmm. But you can tell Ryan Reynolds loves being in the Deadpool suit.
Oh, I remember in the when the first one or second one came out, he posted a picture of all the suits that he has. Like, he has, like, because they had, like, multiple different Deadpool suits because there's so many, they're shooting so much, right? Mm-hmm. And it just makes you think, like, all the costumes in this movie and in the second one and the first one, except for the big metal guy, obviously, that's not real.
But, like, CGI character.
Yeah, CGI character. Yeah, that's real, guys. But, like, all the suits are real. And he emphasized that in, like, a lot on his, like, his posts. I was like, I want to, like, wear an actual suit. I don't want to animate it. Even his mask is real. They just do the, obviously they can't make the eyebrows move in the mask, so they CG that a little bit, but there's very little CGI to his suit. And
there's stories about him trying to walk off the set with the suit to try to steal
it. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
All right, see ya.
Great. I mean, if you go to any Comic-Con, specifically anything with, like, comics or Marvel in general, is, like, you will see a lot of people in a lot of Deadpool suits. Mm-hmm. It's you know, they spot each other and they start a little parading.
Having a Deadpool suit at a Comic-Con is, like, it's not like there's one Deadpool, like, there's different multiverses. There's so many of them, right? So, like, you can run in to someone else and be like, oh, what universe are you from? Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody can. It's not like, oh, you copied my costume. It's like, oh, you're a different variant of mine.
Unless you're just a basic Deadpool. They're like, yo, seriously, bro?
You look the exact same. What are you doing going as the original, you lame-o?
Okay, so let's dig into some of the technical aspects of this. We talk a little bit about the story. We talk a little about the jokes. Performances-wise, aside from Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, who we both know, like, nailed the parts. Right?
Absolutely.
They were born to play those roles.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who sticks out to you?
Actually, Cassandra Nova. Yeah? She was incredible. And she was good, too. During the movie.
Does she, like... So is she?
She does show... I'll explain. So she does show up in the comics a few times. She is basically Charles Xavier's twin sister. Mm-hmm. So just like Charles Xavier has incredible telepathy powers, she similarly has very strong telepathy powers mixed in with telekinesis and stuff. And those things tend to be interlinked. Like, we see that a lot in Phoenix, Jean Grey's character. But she's, you know, often, a lot of the times these are like mirror characters that are presented to be antagonists. I didn't read much of her comics, but in this film she was deemed from the start to be a variant by the TVA and then cast out into the void. And they describe her as the way that mutants get described in the comics. Omega level mutants are the most powerful ones. They're the ones who can warp reality. So she's like, you released an Omega level mutant from the void and into this reality. It's something that threatens the entire reality. Yeah. Aside from that, I will come back to it. It's like, I'm just psyched to have seen Wesley Snipes Blade.
Oh yeah, was perfect.
Michael B. Jordan is on deck to reboot Blade, apparently, which is like, that's why when you hear it's like, there's only one Blade, and then Deadpool looks at the camera.
Yeah. See, those fourth wall breaks, they're subtle, but they're perfect.
Yeah. I was not expecting to ever see or hear anything from Elektra.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah.
Because
that was just a, like, I don't think I've ever seen the Elektra movie, but I know who she is, and I thought it was super cool to bring her back. Like, that's a crazy nostalgic moment.
There is
too.
An Elektra in the Daredevil TV show. Mm-hmm. In the Netflix one that, like, has been made quite popular, it's the main MCU one, but we're seeing the Elektra from
way back when
Ben Affleck used to play Daredevil.
Yeah, like, original. So that's where the original Daredevil song is like.
Yeah.
Na, 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 na. You know that one?
Anybody else stick out to you guys?
The dog.
The dog.
Dude. So that dog is the
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, the original, the actual, yeah, the dog like in real life is, I'm pretty sure it's voted like the number one ugliest dog in Britain,
yeah,
or something like that.
In the EU, I think.
Yeah, in the UK or Europe. Whatever. Like it's
yeah.
I thought it was cool. Perfect because I had heard about, you guys mentioned there was going to be dog pool. I was like, that's going to be funny. They're going to have a cute, fluffy dog. And I was like, I love that they made it this ugly, disgusting dog.
They picked the ugliest dog in the world purpose to match, like, Deadpool having, his deformities. Like, that's why they love each
Honestly,
other.
Honestly, the longer I saw that dog, the more it started to grow on me. I was like, look at this happy little dog. I like this dog.
All I could think about was when it's Deadpool, but he doesn't have his mask on, and the dog's tongue is just going up and around his mouth. I'm like, poor Ryan, dude. remember, they're filming this shit, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, the tongue just going and he has to keep a straight face without making like a throw up. Like, oh gosh.
Dude, nice pool was incredible.
Oh my god.
That was funny.
It cost nothing.
We got Fabio Deadpool. That was insane.
That was if you looked at the way that his suit was done too, it was like a shiny.
Yeah, it was shiny. Yeah.
It
was like plastic.
Yeah.
He didn't even have a regen ability at the end. That we were like,
amazing.
Oh my god.
He was like, regen?
You're like, oh shit.
I was a little disappointed we didn't actually get more out of Lady Deadpool.
I wanted her to take her mask off because I kept hearing rumors that it was going to be Taylor Swift or Blake Lively. And I was like, if it's Taylor Swift, this movie's going to make the most money ever. Those Swifties, dude, they can do anything.
I don't know. I wonder if, as a brand, could she be associated with something like Deadpool?
Well, if she was in the movie, do you know the amount of people who would go, of Swifties, who would go see this movie just for her? Would be insane. Like, that happened with the Super Bowl. Do you know, the attendance at the Super Bowl, because she was dating the quarterback, was, the highest attendance for the Super Bowl ever.
That's
or something
incredible.
Stupid because of the fucking Swifties.
Yeah.
Her popularity is to the point where people are worried she's gonna do something political and just ruin the world.
They wouldn't even care. If she voted for president, she would win.
No, she's gonna replace Kamala.
That's a next level call. It's just a bunch of white girls.
She is the only one who could possibly be Trump, to be honest, at this point. Yeah, I don't so from a technical aspect, Jared, you were saying that you were noticing things about the color.
Well, the whole time I really wanted to pay attention to the color because I've been coloring and training for it for a bit, and I've got some level of skill, but I'm not freaking gonna be touching anything like Deadpool anytime soon. So what are these guys doing? And the matching was incredible for the most part. But one thing I thought of was that suit. And you caught it at the beginning, which is interesting.
Yeah, the color brightness.
It has to be, that suit has to be the same red every single cut, every single scene, depending on lighting. But it's like, that's got to be the exact same.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, what if they, I wonder if they know exactly on the vector scope where that red is. Mm-hmm. And if they've got some sort of key that would select red and they make it that red and that saturation level and make it perfect on every shot.
Yeah, well, if you compare his red suit to the first two movies, it's a lot, it's brighter. Mm-hmm. It's a more poppy red compared to the other ones. And I feel like, because they were giving us the very poppy yellow from the original comics for Wolverine, they needed to match that up and make them both pop. These are both the...
I recall that first movie, the first Deadpool movie is mostly gray. So that his red stands out more.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't surprise me.
This one felt very, a lot brighter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I think they probably also toned down Wolverine's suit. Because in the cartoons, he's maximum saturation.
Oh, yeah.
Popping everywhere.
But even in this, his yellow was still really popping.
Yeah.
Especially next to Deadpool. Mm-hmm. Especially when you put the hood on, in that end scene versus all the Deadpools.
So
that hit me hard. I was like, "Oh, it's
I know." He reached back, and you're like, "What is he gonna grab?" And then you see the hood, and the whole audience is like, "No
way!" I was wondering
what
he was doing.
Just in that, in the scenes where you see him out with the claws, standing next to Deadpool, and then, something flashes.
Yeah, he's in he's
or,
in like the po, the
or
famous
when they're jumping
Wolverine
out
pose.
Of the bus window, and it looks amazing.
That was awesome. I was that's gonna be so many people's walls. wallpaper.
Well, yeah. We got like so many of those like little pictures. Like we got it at the beginning, we got it in the middle, we got like three of them at the end of them just standing together doing the pose. Like, oh, they were really pushing like, we're here, here's Wolverine and Deadpool, you have it.
Like,
we're a lot of like really comic panel moments. Mm-hmm.
One thing interesting, going back to the technical color bit, in the interview scene, I noticed on the close-up, and I'm wondering, I'd have to watch it again, but I noticed on the close-up, his suit jacket was a little bit colder than on the outsides. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that quite a few times. It was like their skin tones would change ever so slightly between cold and warm. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I noticed, I was kind of overthinking it. It was where lighting was and angles. But the most noticeable thing was during the conversation with Cassandra, where it was the two of them talking to her before they put the helmet on her. Her wide shot is all shadow on her front with the light on the back of her head. Mm. But on the side angle, her face is fully lit up.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I was like, you can window that? How much time did you have for this?
Some things are occurring to me if I go back to the writing of it for a moment. I feel like a lot of times sometimes you see movies where the comedy and the jokes and the way they're constructed are very integral and like they can't be changed or modified, right? But other times it's like, I feel like a lot of jokes in Deadpool, you could do a second version of the movie with entirely different jokes and not miss any of the plot.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one kind of like benefit of it. I don't know if it works to Deadpool. It wouldn't work with any other kind of hero. Mm-mm. I don't think you would want that.
Which makes sense why they wouldn't put him in Avengers.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I think is like, he's going to ruin any seriousness there is going on because he's all jokes.
But I feel like that's such a big part of Deadpool. Like, if you're going to put Deadpool in a movie, you have to expect that to happen because that's his whole character.
Exactly.
Like, even in the comics, he'll pop in. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw something, like a comic, I don't know if it's real or not, but I saw something where it's like the scene where in the first Avengers movie, where it's like Cap, Iron Man, and Bruce Banner, and they have the Loki staff sitting and they're all talking about what to do with it or whatever. And then I saw something where Deadpool comes in, goes to the microwave in the back, and just starts heating up a chimichanga. And then he like eats it and then walks out. That's the whole thing.
That's incredible.
And I was like if you're gonna throw Deadpool in, like, it's those little cameos would be good. I'm hoping they'll start to do that now that he's in the MCU.
There was like a long running internet thing of like, we want Deadpool in an Avengers movie, and the whole, it'll be PG-13 still, and the whole movie Deadpool is going to be excited to use the one F word they get.
Yeah.
And then Wolverine will just turn to him and be like, will you shut the fuck up?
Yeah, and like use the one word. The other thing too, I've always thought about, like, especially after Stan Lee's passing, Stan Lee passed away, and then we got some more Deadpool stuff.
Yeah.
All I could think about was the only person, because those Stan Lee cameos, they're for a second, but they're amazing. I think the only way we could get those back is instead of the Stan Lee cameos, we get Deadpool.
Yeah.
For those little snippets, he just pops in to Marvel movies.
Cool.
I think, because that would be hilarious.
He was and in it like would, one trailer where it's like, oh, is that you, Deadpool? Can it, Stan Lee?
Yeah. just replacing, because we don't get the Stan Lee cameos anymore. Yeah. We get like little references to it. Like, I'm pretty sure in Spider-Man No Way Home, he's swinging, and you can see like a mural on a wall of Stan Lee's face.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
he wrote me.
Yeah, that's like the only things we're gonna get. But I think if we got Deadpool, just little quick snippets like they did with Stan Lee, just of Deadpool just being there.
Even not saying anything is like, you said, he walks in and microwaves something.
Like, literally just there's a serious thing going on or whatever, people are talking, and he would just walk past in the background. That would be absolutely hilarious.
That'd be hilarious. Just and to everyone have him, like, relaxing. Like in Avengers Age of Ultron, when they're in that, like, bar party and everybody's hanging out, just to have him in the back with, like, a cocktail would be fun.
Just have him there, like, chat with people. Like, just throw him in and then have him, like, turn, like, wink at the camera or something.
Yeah.
Like, I think those tiny little, now that he's actually officially in the MCU, I think they could start to do that.
That's a lot of money to pay Ryan Reynolds.
Well, you don't have to.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's true. That's
he's in there for a second.
Yeah,
I also loved, speaking of like money for a cameo, Chris Evans, when they killed him off in this one, Deadpool was like, he said something like, we can't, the budget is already too high. Do you know what he's doing to the budget right now? Just put Chris Evans in this movie. And I thought that was such a good little fourth wall break there.
You kind of forget after seeing him play Captain America how funny he actually is, Chris Evans.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you gotta remember, he did a role in Scott Pilgrim.
Did he?
Oh, he did.
Was he the vegan guy?
No, he was the skateboarder who made like the clones.
Yeah.
And he was so good.
Yeah. It's like, forget how funny he actually is.
That's hilarious. And he's like such a bro in that movie. It is so good.
Yeah. So I want to pivot back to, in writing, Wolverine's story is kind of interesting because where Deadpool's whole thing is, I want to be significant, Wolverine's thing is, I used to be significant and I messed it up. Mm-hmm. You went back in time to get Wolverine to replace him and save your universe and you ended up getting the worst Wolverine. Mm-hmm. There was a brief kind of montage of him going to different universes and looking for different Wolverines.
Oh, that was so funny seeing all the different variants of Wolverine.
Cavalrine.
Cavalrine,
yeah. Short Wolverine was
like, oh my god. He's like, and Deadpool's talking like a big, oh, he jumped on down you there all by yourself. You stick the landing there, little buddy. Good job. Yeah,
short king.
Yeah, you short king.
Short king. Oh, what do you call it? Like comic accurate?
Yeah. Oh my god. It was so funny.
You can
funny.
See it in like X-Men 97 if you watch that old, they rebooted it on Disney Plus. It's the X-Men cartoon.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
They pick it
phenomenal.
Up from X-Men 97 and they keep going. And Wolverine, if you look at that, he's always shorter than whoever he's talking to.
Yeah, because comic book, he's tiny, right? He's like, he's a short king.
He's a Wolverine.
Yeah.
I'm always taken aback by like, and people always change the way that suits look. Even Spider-Man like never looks the same in from the comics. Deadpool's suit is very comic accurate.
It's so from the first one.
Yeah.
Like they did Deadpool like perfectly out the gate. They were like, because everyone was asking for it for so long, right? Ryan was interested in doing it. Like the people wanted it. And then they really took their time to release that first one. Yeah. They were like, if we're going to give you this role that everyone wants, like we need to make sure this, we don't want to mess this up. Like so many other movies they've tried to boot up and it's just like crap.
Overall, I would look at this movie and see it, first off, phenomenal theater experience. We had a great time.
Oh yeah. And I think like just the audience in general, everyone was laughing and
there are times I can like point to have like I was more taken aback or more gripped by a theater experience, but I genuinely just had a good time with this movie.
Well, there's nothing like watching Spider-Man No Way Home, that theater experience. When they all, three of them come up, insane. But like this one, like
Bullet Train, Mad Max Fury Road, John Wick 4. These, I can point to like a few better theater experiences, but I had a genuinely good time watching this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's something that I'm going to think about and remember for long periods of time, but like I enjoy it. I got my money's worth with this. And I think that's
absolutely.
Ultimately, that's what the most important thing is. I can't say this was high art. When I think about like if I was to sit down and write a Deadpool Wolverine movie, I feel like I would have done something entirely different.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of potential for this story, but, you know.
Well, there were so many different ways they could have gone about it, right? Like, it's the duo you've wanted forever. I bet you they struggled writing this, too. Like, the possibilities they could do are endless with those two, right? Like, so they just kind of, but they did a really good job giving us what we needed.
I was more satisfied than I thought with this movie. I thought I would, like, walk out of it and feel like, oh, it's missing substance. It's lacking somewhere. But I came out of it going, I came out of it, I was telling Jared, with a similar feeling to the way I walked out of Django Unchained, where I was like, I didn't know what the beats would be, but they hit all of them well, and I was happy with it.
Yeah. I went in going into it like, I'm going to like this movie no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting Deadpool and Wolverine. The way they've been writing, the way they've been writing Deadpool alone, like, they're going to make, it'll be a fun ride no matter what. So I was like, I'm going to go enjoy this movie. Whether the plot's good or no matter what, I'm gonna have a good time. And I came out like that exceeded my expectations a bit. Like I had a really good time. Like it was really, really good.
What would you give this movie out of 10?
Personally, maybe I don't want to give it a 10 because that's really high, but maybe like a 9.5. Like I really loved it. I was laughing the whole time. The choreo wasn't like
actually I would say it was awful. Lacking in music. I like there was a couple good songs, but like for the most part, I was like, it's just kind of in the way. It doesn't feel like it's impactful.
Oh yeah, but like
it wasn't like DMX from the first movie.
Oh yeah, the X gonna give it to you. What?
Jared, what do you think?
I don't know. It was probably 6 or 7. It's like it was
you piece of shit.
It was. I mean, I'm not a superhero movie kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Like, Everything Everywhere All at Once is my favorite movie.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie, too.
Yeah. And it's like, so this was, maybe I'll stick with a 7, because it was really fun, really, really well done. And yeah, it was like, even though I was trying to pay attention to the color the whole time, I got lost in a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it like took me out of that, even though I was actively trying to stay.
Because you were just having fun. Yeah, you were enjoying
having a grand
the movie.
Old time. And yeah. I was like, ah, oh, they're doing it.
Yeah, you like break laughing in the theater quite
yeah.
a few times.
Oh, yeah. They got it's a fun. Deadpool's definitely one of the more, if you don't care for superhero movies, it's like you'll still
oh,
like
Oh, he's these. The perfect
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Avengers stuff is
my
fun
boyfriend
and interesting.
Said this was a superhero movie. That guy just turned that other guy into a kebab.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh it's like gosh. it's so fun. It's awesome. And it's like there's a lot of good story elements to it. It's a little heavy-handed on the theme.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like,
I'm
chill
just
out.
Happy it had a theme.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
It did.
Well,
it
the
did,
nice thing
really
about
good.
Which I think you were going to say about like compared like, to MCU, like if you will go watch any MCU movie, mm-hmm. there's so much background you have to know or
yeah.
you're going to be confused
yeah.
the entire time. But Deadpool, you can watch any one of them, honestly, in any order,
mm-hmm.
and you would have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
like,
know what I mean? Like they're
thing,
very, yeah.
Because you mentioned there would be a lot of cameos, and I'd heard that this morning as well from a buddy who watched it just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, am I going to know? I was wondering if it was going to be the same experience I had with Endgame. Which is where I was watching it, and half the movie, I was like, I don't know what's going on or who these
yeah,
people are.
Because you have to have the build-up.
Yeah,
for
and
those.
Even with the time skip, I didn't know who Black Widow was because she looked completely different, and
yeah.
I hadn't seen a movie in like 3 years. And so it wasn't until halfway through the movie I was like, oh, that's Black Widow.
Yeah.
That's who she is. And then it was like, yeah, all missing this element, missing that element. I don't know what's going on half the time. But
yeah.
this one, I knew what was going on the entire time.
Did you know a lot of the
cameos? I knew who every character that mattered was. It's
yeah.
like, I had never seen a hint of Blade, but they mentioned the name Blade and then showed me a shot of him. So I was like, oh, that's Blade.
You got to go back and watch those movies, man. They're
yeah.
amazing.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the other thing. Like, the very end.
Also, Ryan Reynolds was in Blade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was in the second
Oh,
or third
yeah.
Movies.
He,
yeah.
yeah. Not as Deadpool, but
yeah.
like, yeah, he was
Blade
in
Runner.
That. When it's fighting, when Wolverine and Deadpool are fighting all the Deadpool variants.
Oh, that was awesome.
Like, you could go back and rewatch that and catch different little
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I
like,
feel like I'm going to have to.
I'm going to have to go watch yeah. because I was like, I'm watching Wolverine and then Deadpool comes in the frame and I'm like, okay, wait, what's Wolverine doing in the background? Like, that shot of
yeah.
them fighting and the camera moving, that's other thing I want to touch on is the fighting choreo in this movie. They really took
Very
advantage
perfect.
Of them being regenerative.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like,
Marvel.
At the beginning, when Deadpool, like, shoots all the bullets in him at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then we got the very famous of the bullets falling out of Wolverine onto the ground.
Actually,
like,
I
so
think that's
good.
Really good because, like, if you think about it, Marvel has always struggled with this problem of we're going to fight 1,000 robots and destroy buildings
yeah.
and have the Hulk jumping. It's way too much CGI.
Cameras moving. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's a mess.
It's too much.
Yeah.
But they did, I thought they did a good job.
They did a really
they
good
did
job.
They did incredible.
Yeah.
One thing I was paying
they kept it very
before.
Human, too.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm very big on, like, action movies, like, for choreo fight scenes.
Yes.
Like, I hate shaky cam fight scenes. Or when it cuts every, like, split
yeah.
second,
yeah.
it's cutting to
it's
a different angle of the fight. It's like, just keep. Like, if you've seen Extraction or John Wick, like, those choreo fight scenes.
Yeah.
Keep it
a lot
one
of
shot, stay
one
wide
talk,
frame.
It's wide frame, it's simple. Like, you
it's
can
so
see,
good.
If you're going to change the angle, it follows, like, their movement or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still follow along in the fight scene.
One thing I was thinking while watching these, all the fight scenes where they were, like, large fight scenes, because I had a couple of them,
mm-hmm.
was, is this... I was looking for what everybody was doing because all that comes to mind was one of the newer Star Wars movies where it's the Snoke fight and there's just people doing nonsense in the background.
Just swinging
like
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a whole... And I watched a video
like
on a guy and like
dancers.
Zooming into the specific people like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah.
What's going on? This guy just flies away for no reason. And so I was watching this
like,
movie.
This.
Yeah.
He just leaves.
So watching this movie, I was looking for what is everybody doing? And everybody was doing whenever I saw anybody, it made complete sense. They were actually fighting, they were reacting properly, things cool things were happening, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Even random people on the side that are like, oh, there's a background actor who hasn't talked yet, and there's one of the sidekicks.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of the cameos.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
I think I'm in between you guys in terms of like when I think about like a 10 is a movie that has done more than just hit all of its beats. A 9 is a movie that hit all its beats. I think I would give this an 8 or maybe an 8.5 because I think it had more potential that
yeah.
it didn't hit. Granted, again, I walked out of the movie very satisfied. I was really happy with it. I couldn't have asked for more
mm-hmm.
for a Deadpool movie.
But like you also could, but you don't know what. Like, you don't know what you would want more.
I know I want to see more of this. I just don't know what the heck
exactly.
They do.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely an 8.5. Here's a challenge question for you.
Ooh, I hate challenges.
Can you think of anybody else that you would have Henry Cavill being a given to play either Wolverine or Deadpool?
Oh, who else I would cast? Betty White. I think she'd be phenomenal.
You gotta have some gold. There's a golden oldie Deadpool for sure.
Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe as Deadpool.
Ryan Gosling, I feel like, could actually do really good for Deadpool.
Lately, yeah. Like, if you look at like old.
I totally thought you were making a joke, and I thought Ryan Reynolds. I was like, haha, funny.
No, but who did you say?
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. His. Little side quest here. His movies lately have been really funny. Like, his characters have been really funny, and I think he's doing a really good job.
Well, you see him be funny in a movie, it's kind of authentic.
Yeah.
So it's like, it
I think you don't expect it because he's such a good looking guy. You're like, wait, that was actually funny.
And he does such a good job of playing like dark, depressing roles too. Mm-hmm. So it's like he'd bring a lot of like good gravity to the Deadpool role.
Yeah.
What about Jason Statham as Wolverine?
Oh my God. Dude, that's actually really good. It's just that you can't have a bald Wolverine. I don't know if
that
works.
Wig.
They'll give him a toupee like they gave Deadpool in this one. They'll just give him a toupee.
They gave Ryan Reynolds a wig for Nice Pool.
Jason Statham.
Oh my god, dude. We gotta go back to this Fabio Deadpool. Phenomenal little. The cameo we never even thought of that we needed. It was so perfect.
It
costs
nothing to be kind.
Yeah, it costs nothing to be kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I can tap the fourth wall. Oh, what movie did he say?
Oh,
The Proposal.
Yeah, he just looks over to the camera. He goes, I can fourth wall break, looks over to the right. The Proposal. And then he like just looks all pretty with his Fabio hair, then turns back, and everyone's just like, even they're like, what was even
I
that?
Love like, that. Even the best part was that with Deadpool constantly having the audience's reactions to things. That it? Because that's exactly
even his
what I
subtle
thought.
Like there's one or two moments in this where he just looks at the camera
and
you just know exactly what he's referencing. It is just so funny.
Nolan North was the guy who voiced Deadpool in video games before. Nolan North is the same guy who voices Nathan Drake and Desmond Miles from Assassin's Creed. He's a really good voice actor, and it's like in games before, he's kind of nailed the personality and the feel of Deadpool. It's just a shame that I don't think he's in like the physical shape to play Deadpool. He's a little bit on the older side too, but so is Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman's not looking young.
Well, Hugh's going to be playing until he's 90.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We heard that twice, so I'm like, are we? No way. For real?
Hey, man, that Disney money's pretty big.
Old Wolverine again.
We get Logan part two.
He crawls out of the grave.
So the Marvel Universe was kind of building towards their own incursion event, because obviously they've been going on with the Cinematic Universe for a long time, and the steam that the original Avengers movies gave them to do Disney Plus and
all these
shows,
Saga.
It's starting to wind down. So what they were doing is, here's the options ahead of them to kind of like reignite everything, was they were going to do their own incursion event and just start again from scratch. That's what Loki was leading to. That's what Ant-Man and the Wasp was leading to. But then the, I want to say Jonathan Majors was his name. He was a guy who was playing, he was at the end of the Loki show. He was the one who had gotten them to the end of, at the end of season one. He's like, I'm the guy who pruned all the timelines and created the TVA and all that stuff.
Oh, the, he's like the villain, right?
Yeah, this is not that important. But he was at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp as well. And his whole thing is that he is the guy who starts the multiverse war that's going to ultimately lead to their version of the incursion. And then he got arrested and convicted of a crime. So what they're
fine. The Disney money will get him out.
What they're leaning towards now is a big Galactus battle. Galactus was like the World Eater. It was a famous Fantastic Four villain.
Yeah,
and
I think we've had references to that in the past Marvel movies.
He showed up in a couple of them. The Silver Surfer, for instance, back in the 2000s, was supposed to be the herald of Galactus to restart all that. So
that's
it looks like
the bed, though.
Bring him back. Where's the Silver Surfer?
What's been confirmed now is that they're actually going to bring back the old Avengers to do two more movies. So we're going to see Chris Hemsworth Thor. We're going to see what's his name?
Robert
the
Downey Jr.
We're gonna maybe there's a high possibility.
What's his name?
Who's that guy? Are you kidding? Get off the
Iron
pod.
Man.
Get off. The
I just hope
right
they
now.
Don't do Iron Heart, because that was.
Oh, I
awful.
Heard about that, and I'm
what's
like, don't
Iron
do
Heart?
That. It's just his. It's his kid.
No.
Oh, not even.
Not even.
Oh, no.
They
yeah.
Just pick some black girl with an afro. Who's young.
Jesus Christ.
And they're like, you're going to be the next Iron Man. And then her whole thing.
I'm pretty sure I heard a rumor that it was going to be.
They featured her in Wakanda Forever and it was awful.
Yeah, because it was just Shuri in the.
Nobody liked her in the comics either, so it's like difficult. Yeah. But I do see, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is far from over. This money train is far from over.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
going to get everything
they can
out
so
of
much. I'm pretty sure I saw something where they've already have an idea of what, after the phase they're doing, the next phase is going to be an X-Men phase. Like, they're just going to do solo X-Men movies. Like, we're going to get Beast. We're going to get a Jean Grey movie. Like, we're going to get all that type of stuff. Like, just solo things. And I'm...
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
If I was to sit you down and be like, do you want to watch 30 hours of content? No. But if you bleed these things out over the course of a year and I catch one on TV.
Yeah, well, the other, like, well, they planned so far. Like, we wouldn't have gotten this Deadpool and Wolverine matchup without Loki or Ant-Man. Like, yeah. We wouldn't, because the TVA played a big part and you can go back and
to be
stuff.
Honest, it's like, out of all of the movies, this one feels like one of the least planned.
Yeah, yeah, it was all it's over
like,
the place.
It's
but like
we just made this up in a day in the writing room, to be honest. Yeah. But overall, I mean, I'm not looking forward to seeing the Avengers movies again. I wanted something hard-hitting out of Marvel to come again, because it's like, we've just been getting these terrible TV shows.
Yeah.
And then Captain Marvel in a movie? What? Come on. You know you're really scraping the bottom of the
barrel. We got a second Captain Marvel. We have two of those.
When you got a...
Oh, did you guys hear about the spider web? One.
Oh, Madam Web or something?
Dude, I didn't even want to watch it.
No.
All I heard
oh
was
God.
Like people went in and they're like, what is this movie?
Hang on, isn't Morbius a Marvel property?
Morbius.
Yeah,
Morbius.
That has a movie. Apparently time. That's really bad too. Like people thought that was gonna be the yeah. one that was the worst one. And then this spider web
Madam Web came out.
Came
oh
out
my
and
God.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I kept seeing this little clip of an interview. It's like Sydney Sweeney and the other two girls. And it's like, who do you think would win in a Spider-Man fight? Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and Tom Holland, or you three? And they're like, yeah, us three. We would totally win. Yeah, right. Are you kidding me?
It's like Brie Larson in every single one of the interviews when she's sitting. She, like the, oh, everybody man. Else will be like joking around. She'll be like, actually...
actually,
it's like that's why nobody likes Captain Marvel.
Like, God.
Yeah. But all in all, if you find yourself with some free time and a movie ticket, go catch Deadpool and Wolverine. We had a fantastic time with it.
Do it for Fabio Deadpool.
Do it. For
go for Fabio Deadpool. Fabio Pool. Yeah.
And then maybe watch The Proposal afterwards if you feel like it.
Yeah. Also a good movie.
Alternatively, you could check out more of the stuff we do at The Forest Creek. You can find us at The Forest Creek on Instagram, youtube.com/@TheRealForestCreek. We're on Spotify and a number of other podcasting platforms. Apple coming soon, maybe, hopefully, I don't know.
Hopefully, whoa. That's what I have.
We wow. got okay. More no, movie podcasts coming up, and...
Drum roll.
A video podcast.
Whoa.
Don't advertise it yet.
You guys get to see how
why,
sexy we are.
It's already been
look.
Advertised by your dad. But yeah, we are excited to be dropping more content, getting back in the podcasting game, trying to go more regular with it. So, you know, tell everybody you know.
Everybody.
To check
mom,
out.
Your
check
grandma, us out. Your sugar mama, your baby daddy, your kids, your grandkids. Tell them all. Tell your neighbor.
Tell your kids. Tell your husband.
At The Forest Creek. Thank you for listening. I'm Raph.
I'm Jared.
Oh, my turn? Yeah, I'm Jake.
We both forgot.
We did it, guys. Maximum effort.
Maximum effort.
Minimal effort.
Hey.
Hey.
Bye-bye.